TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hello, and welcome to Notes of the North Talks, a series where we get to know our local Canadian musical talent. Today, I'm here with Carmen Braden. Huge thanks, and welcome to Carmen.
Thanks, Brianna. Great to be here.
All right, let's get things started. So where are you joining us from today? Where in Canada do you call home?
Right, I am in Sombaquay, which is the Welladay word for Yellowknife. So it's in the Northwest Territories, Northern Canada, and it's the place that I've lived for most of my life and still call home.
Beautiful. What first drew you into composition?
Yeah, my parents put me in like piano lessons when I was a kid, and there was a fantastic music teacher in my elementary school. And so I did like band and choir all through elementary. And then that same teacher moved into my high school the year I did. It was amazing. And I kept doing piano on the side. So I was doing a lot of music in my life. And then I have, I think, some very creative people in my family who inspired me. And I loved making things. So I've been I really first started in songwriting when I was a teenager, writing like hormonal heartbreak songs and like songs about like who am I in life and I just want to leave my small town but I love my small town, and great teenage songs. And after that I kind of encountered more compositional ideas and different kinds of classical music idioms, and that took over for a while. And then songwriting like came back with a force. So it's been a great non-linear journey.
Amazing. Hey, are any of those songs still available?
You know what? On my first album, there's the last song is called Small Town Song. And it's probably the one that is like the most played on CBC radio in terms of my songwriter songs.
Okay.
And it's super catchy. It's got a banjo in it. And it's like, I wrote it when I was like 16. And
oh my God.
Yeah, it's still
a heartbreak.
Yeah, total. Yeah.
Good, definitely going to go check that out. So how would you introduce your music, I guess, as it has evolved, music and style, to a first-time listener? Could you recommend other pieces of music?
Oh, sure. So yeah, I have two sides of music that I like to write. And one of them has like a history from classical music. And the kind of music that I write for that is sometimes instrumental and sometimes vocal, like for choirs. And it doesn't really sound super weird. Sometimes it sounds really nice. So I think people who hear contemporary classical music often get this sense that it's like all sounds like Schoenberg and Cat on Piano, kind of like a real disconnect from, say, more popular music or a connection to tonality. But I really loved colors and sounds that had a connection to a grounding in a center, in colors and things like that in music. And then the other side of my life is that songwriting side, and those songs I think reflect the fact that I've spent a lot of time listening to stranger music that's not so much in the popular vein. But I have a real deep appreciation for words and wordcraft and lyric. And it's a part of my compositional process, even when there's no voices singing. I use words a lot to inspire me. And so when that comes out in the music and in the songs, that's one of the favorite kind of ways I look into things. But it's my songwriting material is like quirky, but it's still pretty recognizably kind of folk or rock or hints of pop or lots of jazz ideas in there without it kind of settling firmly into any one of those genres.
Very cool. Yeah, your work definitely spans both composing but also songwriting. How does songwriting and composing complement each other when you're writing?
I think in both cases, this is the way that I've I've found works for me right now is taking an idea that's really simple and really small and has real clarity to it, a core. I dove deep into that kind of process in my third album, which is called Seed Songs, and it's all songs, but they're all super short, and it's just kind of like, how can we make this one idea as clear as possible? And so I think the shortest song on that album is like 28 seconds long. And so when I'm composing, I think a lot of composers go through a phase of this where they have a lot of ideas in one piece at one time, and they maybe either don't spend enough time exploring it, or they just try to fit too much in. And so I've really become a fan of finding the core idea of what I'm doing musically and letting that be present kind of throughout, and just letting it be as small and hopefully beautiful as I can make it.
Beautiful. Okay, well, switching gears a little bit, as a lifelong northerner, how do you see your northern roots reflected in your music, both thematically and stylistically?
Yeah, during my 20s, I spent a lot of time writing music that reflected my environment. When I was doing my undergrad, I encountered the writings of people like Murray Schafer and Hildegard Westerkamp, Canadian composers who championed this idea of environment and sound as music. Kind of extending the Cagean way of thinking of, like, you know, the 4 minutes and 33 seconds where you just sit there and then, like, whatever is happening is the music.
Yeah.
But then now being really deliberate about hearing my environment and the possibilities within it. So in my case, it was the subarctic. So we still have trees. They're kind of short. We have lots of lakes and lots of ice. We've got ravens and beautiful parts of the environment that I brought into my music in a really strong way. And like my second album is called Songs of the Invisible Summer Stars. And that's all chamber music. And that, I think, is one of the best kind of reflections of what I was doing to hear my environment as music. And what I am passionate about is finding things that are really specific, have context, and a deep respect for that place and the space. And so writing and looking at almost like zooming in on something and just holding that thing really gently, as opposed to trying to make it represent the entire north of Canada, because I think a lot of people in Canadian, southern Canadians in particular, don't have as much knowledge about some parts of northern Canada and tend to kind of put things together. But just like in southern Canada, there's really different ecosystems, really different cultures that have come from these places, indigenous cultures and then settler culture. How those things have interacted and where they are now is really different across geography. This is one of the blessings and curses of Canada, something we're really proud of, and it's also one of the reasons we have a hard time getting along and agreeing on things. My reaction to that stereotyping is to be as specific as possible.
Awesome. Well, yes, you mentioned multiple themes of landscapes, ravens, and lakes, for example. How do you approach translating these natural and cultural elements to sound?
There's a couple different ways, and I'll maybe talk about some of my more contemporary, like my more recent writing in this as well, which kind of took a break from that. But I would take ideas about whatever's around me, and then translate those conceptually into sound. So one of my favorite examples is something like an ice crystal or like a snowflake. They're all kind of based on the same idea of, like, water becomes crystal, right? Freezes, becomes things. So, and there's always six sides. So if you ever, like, make the snowflake by cutting it out, traditionally, or like in science, it has six sides. This is just part of the physics of water. And so what I did in and it's always a kind of symmetrical, right? There's always like the same, like these mirrors, these beautiful patterns. So what I did in a in some of my music was take this idea of the number six things, and like symmetrical things.
Ooh.
Or patterns. So I would have like six part harmony, like hexachords. So I built kind of this my musical vocabulary for one of my biggest pieces, all about hexachords that were symmetrical. So I made a bunch of these chords, and I built those as like my chord progressions.
Wow.
Another example that's a little more contemporary for me, because I started a family in kind of in my early 30s, and now they're getting older. But one of my pieces that was very much inspired by that environment was called 24 Hours at 24 Months. So I like mapped out a day of my 2-year-old in time. And I said, okay, here he eats, he naps, he wakes up, he plays really hard, he eats, he naps, tantrum, or like these kinds of things, right? And so then I mapped that onto the form of a piece of music. So if the piece took 5 minutes, it was essentially be that 24-hour period, like condensed. And then you would have these kind of cadential things. Every time he ate, it was kind of a similar music. Or every time he like played really hard, the music would reflect that energy. And then whenever he slept, it would just be like, all right, now we're in the largo section. And like the transitions in between them were like just abrupt as all things. Because 2-year-olds are not subtle about anything, right? They're just there. So I still find these ideas of bringing concepts from the real world into the music, and then seeing what kind of fun I can have with it.
Oh, I love that you dissect such specific elements, the specificity like you mentioned before.
Yeah, and it like works in songwriting. Like if you write a song and you're just trying to say how much you love a person, that's great. But if you can talk about like how you love how they like touch their ear when they're thinking or something, like if you can be as specific as possible, everybody has these specificities to our lives. Like we live in minutiae, we live in tiny details. And so your tiny details are different than my tiny details, but it's those little tiny parts of our lives that we can actually hear each other in through music and art.
That's beautiful. Well, you mentioned being a parent. So being a parent and a full-time musician is undoubtedly a juggling act. How has parenthood influenced your music in other ways besides 24 months?
Oh, it feels like I'm late for everything, Brianna. And if any of the people who work with me right now are listening to this, I apologize for all the delays again. It just feels like things take more time because I just have other parts of my life. And so adapting to that has been a really humbling thing and made me very grateful for the support that I already have. And I think there's still lots of good ways to work to make the abilities of parents and mothers who are choosing to have families and choosing to have careers as flexible as they and supported as they can. So it's definitely not easy. Super rewarding. Love my kids so much. It just changes the choices that you have to make.
That's fair. On the flip side, has music influenced your parenting style at all?
That's a great question. Nobody's asked me that one. Let me think. Has music influenced my parent? Yes. Yes. Actually, one here's a fun one. Kids are super repetitive, like when they're learning something or when they're wanting to listen to music. Like the number of times I've listened to the Frozen soundtrack, and I love the Frozen soundtrack so much, but like I think because I have this background in training where you listen, like whether you're practicing music, like in a practice room on a piano or whatever, or if I'm composing something and I'm hearing like the same moment over again and again and I'm trying things out, or if I'm in a recording session and I have to listen to the same track while I'm editing a really specific part of it, I feel like I can handle repetition around kids really well, whereas I think other people kind of max out at how many times they can hear the Frozen soundtrack or how many times you can read the same book. So I kind of love it, how focused they can get. So that's one influence that's positive.
That's actually a really good point. Like us musicians, we're practicing, even with just like practicing an instrument, you're repeating over and over, or for performing the same set repertoire at like different venues, but you have to give it your all and tell a story at every single one and somehow make each one special. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, it is a fun thing to encounter. It doesn't make me feel like it's a childish thing, this repetition. It also does, it's not like my kids are like super geniuses because they're repeating things like, you know, us like people in a practice room. But it's, yeah, like I can handle it, and sometimes I really enjoy it. Like, yeah, Frozen on repeat all year round.
Love it. Well, many might see living in a remote area, such as the North, as a challenge, but you've mentioned it can be a huge advantage. So what are some specific ways in which your remote, I guess, lifestyle enhances your creative process and contributes to the distinctiveness of your musical style?
I do love living in Yellowknife, and I think there are definite advantages to living in a small town, and you can make a really big impact on the town in kind of your own way. Sometimes it's easy to make things happen and get excitement about it, and we live in a world where we need audience, right? It's like, pay attention to me. So if I do a certain kind of concert in my town, it's very unlikely that someone will be doing a similar concert in the same time or around then. There's just not the population capacity. But it also means like there's a little metal scene that's happening in Yellowknife, which is super great. But I know everybody in the metal scene. Whereas if I was in Toronto, there would probably be lots of metal bands or different bars or things like that. And so I find it a great way to build a community around you really strongly and really quickly, and to find ways that you can contribute and that other ways that you can be influenced. Whereas like, I don't know if I imagine living in a big city where I was just trying to do, say, one thing and really focused, I might not see some of those other things around me, because I kind of, you have to, I'm not sure. I've never had to try to build a career in a big city, so I'm not exactly sure, but I imagine it would be fairly niche, or like you'd have people who are really specialized in certain things because there's just so many people. You can be specialized, and sometimes that's exactly what you want. I do enjoy myself being able to kind of move between things and not be either known for one thing or not feel like I have to dive so deep into one that it becomes the only thing.
I get what you mean.
That makes sense.
But no, definitely I hear what you mean about the specialization and the niches. It's so hard because everyone is trying to stand out. And so it's harder to, I guess, take the time to notice what other people are doing when you're so focused on your own path. But that's one thing that definitely would be great to expand your horizons, because influences can work wonders. So.
Oh, hugely. And I think since the pandemic, there's been one silver lining is this is a move out of these bigger cities and people choosing to make lives in smaller parts, smaller towns or things like that. And so like that's I'm a big fan of that. I think it's going to make a healthier evening out of a lot of people and resources and activities. If it's not just happening in these large centers that then come with other kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, does this remote lifestyle reflect in your music at all? Like sparse effects, for example?
I don't think so. There's a wideness to the space up here and a definitely kind of a feeling of expansiveness. But what I like, if you think back to what I said about like honing in on the beauty of something, like there is so much life here and so much detail and so much kind of beauty. That's a different kind of beauty than like a rainforest, where it's kind of in your face just because like there's a ton of biomass activity and it's the rainforest. But I know I've listened to other people who have written and lived in northern places for a long time. People like John Luther Adams, and their music has this sense, has kind of these big feelings or these spaciousness and things like that. Whereas I love finding the life and the activity and the excitement that is here, even if it's either maybe harder to find or doesn't seem like it's there because it's not so kind of in your face, like some other ecosystems. But I think my work is starting to reflect more of the human activity in this environment, whereas for a long time I was focused very strictly on just like the beautiful things that I found, whereas the music that I'm making now is starting to return to this idea of music in like my environment, in my music, but now humans are in that. And so I think it'll be a different kind of music that I make for the next little while as I work through that.
Well, awesome. That's a great transition. But how do you see your role within the contemporary Canadian music scene, particularly as a composer rooted in the Northern experience? What do you hope to contribute to this ongoing scene of what constitutes Canadian music?
Yeah, it's a very heavy question. No pressure.
No pressure.
Well, what I hope, like in the next few decades, that there's more people working in remote parts of the world, the world, Canada, that there's more output of works that reflect this in a way that's kind of really rooted in relationship to that land and in context of that land or the people that are there. And I think that has to happen now. I think some of the ways that music encountered exotic places or different kinds of cultures that maybe weren't respected on a real equal level, it's not how things are done now. It shouldn't be. And so ideas of collaboration and reconciliation and working with other cultures or reflecting music of a place that's like you need to know your relationship to a place if you want to reflect your that place. So if I try to write music that was reflecting, I don't know, Newfoundland fisheries, it's not saying that I couldn't do it, but I would do it knowing that I was not from there and that I would be experiencing that culture as a visitor. So I'm excited for some of the work that I'm doing right now that's bringing people north, and that's also connecting other musicians, like myself and other colleagues up here down south. That's something I really value and love, and it's not easy work because of, you know, geography and cost and things like that, but it's really exciting. So I like that I'm rooted here for the foreseeable future, and that other people are also starting to build these roots. And like I have people that came before me that did the same thing, and that's the reason that I'm here, is these other people who have walked these same kind of paths. So I'm excited to be that for the next little while. It's like tiring a little bit because I can see the decades of work that are going to happen, but at the same time, it's like this excitedness. It's like parenting. It's like, I'm so excited, but it's going to be so much work. And like, this face is excited, even though it's kind of tired.
Good representation.
Exactly.
Love it. Well, looking ahead, are there any particularly exciting projects that are coming up?
Yeah, I got a new album that'll come out starting this summer. Some singles will be dropped. And the album will probably come out later in the fall. And it's an extension of my third album, my singer-songwriter, Tiny, remember the Tiny Ones? Now we've taken some of these tiny little ones and they're like, they are pretty cool, pretty cool tunes. I'm so proud of this album. My producer and collaborator, Mark Adam, in Nova Scotia, has been a huge part of that, and we're going to be doing some things for the release, some videos and some events, so that'll come out. And I have some pieces to write. I've got like three compositions to work on in the next little while.
Awesome, looking forward to it. So I guess with that concludes today's episode. So thank you so much again, Carmen, for sharing such incredible pieces of your art and heart. Until next time, folks, keep listening for the Notes of the North.